is a slightly longer podcast today, where I want to take you through an article that I wrote on LinkedIn, which I think will be of interest to you and will help you to gain influence. And it's called My 10 Biggest Career Lessons So Far. So I'll take you through the main points. If you want to find me on LinkedIn and see the article there, please take a look. I can you can see various links connected to that article, which I obviously can't link to in quite the same way. And also, if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, just look out for me on there, Alex Swallow. And please, if you're listening to this podcast, you can just say that you're a listener of the podcast, and I'd be happy to connect with you if you'd like to connect with me and see my work on there. I've got quite a few articles on LinkedIn which I think might be of interest to you on now, and all sorts of topics around influence and around careers, about my career in particular, and about some of my travels with my wife as a digital nomad, where we travel and work in different countries. So with no further ado, these are my 10 tips. The first one is to treat triumph and disaster the same. And the advice comes from my favourite poem, which you may well know, which is called If by Rudyard Kipling, a very famous poem. And so really in my career, I've had lots of times where I feel like I've achieved something, and then also lots of other moments where something has gone wrong. But I've learned that it helps to use neither of these things to define who you are or what you can achieve. There's going to be good days and bad days, and sometimes there'll be days where everything will fall into your lap on a good day and it wasn't really you doing anything. And the other way around, there'll be days where you try your hardest and nothing will go right, and that wasn't really your fault either. That's just life. So I think treating triumph and disaster the same is an important one. My second point, my second tip, is don't be afraid to tread a lonely path in your career. And I think this is important because it's easier for some people to live up to this than others. So I come from a loving home and I was born in a wealthy country. I have lots of lucky things in my life. But even with this, I feel there's been key points in my life where I've taken the less obvious path in my career, where I've done things which would seem to be perhaps a bit risky or a bit left field, or a bit against the grain of where it looked like my career was going. But I think that I've learned from these things. And I feel that I've done that for most of my life, really, that I've been happy to take the path that seemed less likely. So even things like when I went to my secondary school, which was a really lovely school, I was the only person from my primary school to go to that secondary school. And I was the first person in my family to go to university, and I went to Cambridge University, so that was quite a particular experience. I've always been up for trying something new and to go to somewhere that for me was a bit scary or new, and I've done that in lots of ways. Now, I'm certainly not saying I'm unique in this, and I'm not saying I'm unique in any of these 10 points, but it's something for you to think about. Are you taking some risks? They can be measured risks. They can be risks that have a soft landing even if it doesn't go right. It's not that I think you need to take unnecessary risks, but we have one life and one career, so what is it you want to do, and do you need to head in a different direction to get there? How can you step out of your comfort zone and do something different? My third tip is for you to find excuses to be nosy or to talk to anyone. So this is, I think, the lesson that I most wish I learned even earlier in my career than I learned it. It's about giving yourself the excuse to be nosy. If you can give yourself a legitimate excuse to meet lots of interesting people, you are bound to discover a lot more. What I mean by a legitimate excuse is that most people will be happy to meet you or talk with you or support you in some small way, especially if you're just starting your career. Especially if you show some vulnerability and you say you need some help, and especially if you flatter them and say that they're a person to provide you with good help. But if you just say, for example, that you want to meet with someone and don't give them any sort of reason, Then they might be curious about your motives. They might think that you, say, for example, want to get a job with them, which you might do long term, but you might they might think that you want to sell them something. They might just think that you'll waste their time, and a lot of the people you might want to talk to might be very busy. So it's reasonable for them to worry about that you might waste their time. But if you can give us a give yourself a legitimate excuse, you can get around this. So when I was living in London in my 20s, I became a trustee of a local charity at a reasonably young age. And not only did being a trustee instantly put me into a new group of connections, all other people who are trustees, but I then set up an organisation called Young Charity Trustees to campaign on the issue of board diversity. And Young Charity Trustees, which is now closed, but is I now support an amazing movement called the Young Trustees Movement, which is worth checking out. But Young Charity Trustees gave me the excuse to speak to many of the people I most admired across the charity sector and beyond. It was a chance for me to get in touch with them and say, you know, I'd like to talk to you about board diversity. I've started up this small organisation. Would you be able to talk to me? And most people were happy to talk to me. In fact, I can't think of anyone really who wasn't happy to talk to me. There were some people who they didn't have time at the moment, but there was nobody who just said, why on earth are you getting in contact with me? They could see why I'd be getting in contact with them. And they could see that I had at least a legitimate reason to be getting in contact with them. Now, I'm sure that all sorts of people would have still been happy to meet me even if I hadn't started that organisation, if I just asked them politely, you know, would you be able to meet up? But it gave me the base to easily start a conversation that a lot of people were interested in. It gave me a sort of something to work with, and even if our topics then ranged into other areas that we were both interested in when we were actually chatting to each other, as inevitably they sometimes would, it meant that I had a good initial reason to talk to them, to pick their brains and to learn from them. And hopefully they learnt a little bit from speaking to me too. My fourth tip is around having curiosity and going on adventures. So again, by my mid-20s, I'd been on a variety of adventures. I helped to run a voluntary teaching programme in Romania. I'd spent 2 years on the JET programme in Japan teaching English. And living in another country made a difference to my development in a way that I think I'd have found it hard to replicate elsewhere. It helped me to see the world through different eyes and understand that the way I'd been doing things was only one way to do things, and I think that's a really valuable lesson. And then, after getting married, my wife and I have lived in a number of countries as digital nomads. And that's a new way of living and working that wasn't possible even a few decades ago. It's basically, if you can work online, then you can potentially live in other places. Really, you can live wherever you like in the world, you know, obviously that's very dependent on your passport and on your means, but essentially if you can support yourself and work abroad, you can see the world. And my wife and I have one of the biggest LinkedIn groups supporting people and connecting people who are digital nomads, which again, if you go to my profile, you'll hopefully be able to find. So those are some of the things I've done to have an adventure. But of course, having an adventure doesn't mean having to go to a different country. Being curious about the world and your place in it means that life can be interesting wherever you are. So I find even really simple things like walking a different route through a city that's familiar makes a difference. I have a general curiosity about the world, and I really like to speak to different people and to find out about what it is that makes them tick. But having an adventure is definitely something that can help with your career, and it can help you to think about the direction in which you want your career to go. My fifth tip of 10 is never stop learning. So there are some people who think that learning is basically something that you do when you're in school or when you're at university. I've never been a person, to the best of my knowledge, who thought of those things, who thought that just learning was about being at school or being at university. I used to enjoy learning at home. I used to enjoy reading a lot. When I was at university, I used to read around the course subject quite a lot and go in different ways that I found interesting. So I've always had a sort of a bit of a background, or as long as I can remember, I don't know whether I was a toddler I did it, but I've always had a bit of a background of self-study and following things that I find it interesting. So, as an example, during lockdown in 2020, I completed a short philosophy course online from the University of Edinburgh. And I've wanted to do some sort of course in philosophy for very many years. And during the lockdown, like many people, I looked to see if there's anything new I'd like to try or any new skills I'd like to pick up. And there's loads and loads of online courses that you can do, often for free, as that one was. But if you have a general love of learning, it will help you for your career, because the world of work is changing so fast that you can't stand still. You can't just be in a situation where you think, okay, I've learned everything I need to know. You might want to change career and you'll have to learn new things. New techniques and methods and ideas might come along in your chosen career, and whatever your career is, there's going to be new things to learn all the time. And then a different way to see it is that if you've been learning something that's useful to others, why not share it? So if you enter an industry and there are resources that you wish you had, maybe at some point you will create them. So again, from my personal example, when I joined the charity sector for the first time in my mid-20s, I was at a small charity. And in that small charity, I didn't have the chance to connect to many other people, other charities, and I didn't have an understanding of the wider charitable sector. So when I felt a bit more established, I set up a group on LinkedIn about charity careers to encourage people to join the sector. And I went to lots of networking events with other organisations. And because I set up Young Charity Trustees, it gave me an excuse to go and talk to people in other organisations as well. So what is it that you want to learn, and how can you learn? Number six is about the idea that you need to adapt and grow. Now, the world isn't standing still, and you can't stand still either, as I've already said, with there being new things to learn. You need to think about how the world of work itself is generally changing. So that might be moving between different sectors. So I've worked in the private sector, I've worked for charities, I now work as a freelancer. And I try to listen out about different work trends and think about how my career will cope. What are the fundamental skills that I can acquire that mean that in the future I'm going to be able to support myself and take my career forward? Change is always on the horizon, but how will you react to it? Number seven is, I think you should do things that excite you. So when you look back at your career, what are the things that will really excite you to have done? So I've done some things that don't really relate to a career path I'm on now, but were an amazing experience. So one of them was that I studied politics at university. And early in my career, I was an intern for two members of parliament, one of them in their constituency. This is in the UK, by the way. One of them in their constituency and one of them in parliament. And particularly being able to actually work in Parliament, especially when some parts of the parliamentary estate, like the House of Commons, are so historic, it was an amazing privilege. So many incredible memories of things I got to do and see. And whatever else I go on to do in my career, I'll never regret having spent that time fulfilling one of my passions, politics, and I gained confidence and I picked up transferable skills. One of the things being that before I was an intern, I was scared of answering the telephone, and I practiced while I was an intern of answering the telephone from constituents who were sometimes quite annoyed, and it helped me to deal with that fear. Work is going to take up a great chunk of your life and my life, and that's just the way things are for most people, unless you find a job that you can earn enough money and don't need to spend much time, but that's a different topic. So you may as well do something that excites you in some way if you're going to spend this much time working. What it is entirely up to you, but it's amazing for me to meet people who are passionate about their jobs, even if they're involved in stuff that I have no personal connection to and I wouldn't be good at myself. It's seeing people who have a passion for something shine through is wonderful, and it shows me why they love it and why it's something that they want to be involved in. So how can you find something that you really enjoy and that really excites you? And it might be that you do a few of these things, you enjoy them, but they don't end up being your career, and that's normal. But still, why not try if you can to do some things that are exciting? My eighth tip is to learn from people that you know and learn people from people that you don't know. So one of my biggest career inspirations is learning from other people. And again, I'm sure this is the same for you. So there's some people in my life that I know personally who have really inspired me. They've inspired me through their example. They've inspired me through the way that they interact with other people. They've inspired me by the good things that they put out into the world. And those are people that I would consider friends, or at least acquaintances. But then there are other people, like the late Anthony Bourdain, or Alan de Botton from the School of Life, whose work and his own career journey inspires me again and again. And again, these are people who, they don't have to be in your field. So Anthony Bourdain, of course, was a chef and a presenter and a traveller. Alan de Botton is a philosopher, and I'm none of those things, apart from, I suppose, I travel a bit. But those are people who really inspire me, no matter the fact that they're outside my field, and they inspire me for all sorts of reasons. And so taking the time to look out for people who inspire you, even if they're nothing to do with the industry you're in, makes such a difference. What are the qualities that people have? What are the transferable things that you can learn from them, which will make you, which will inspire you in your career and support you in your career? And it's just fun to see people that you admire doing great things in the world. Okay, two more. Number nine is take the time to reflect. One of the biggest things that I've tried to do more in recent years is to be more in the moment. And I'm a person who thinks an awful lot, and my head's often very full, so I don't feel I'm necessarily naturally very good at this. But I've tried to get better, and recently I've tried over recent years to improve. So taking the time out of your busy schedule, whether it's just getting out of the house for a walk, or having a cup of coffee and time away from your computer, or if possible a longer period to let your mind relax, all those things can really help. And then if you need a bit of a nudge, as I do, it's good to find tools that can help you. So for example, my wife has created a brilliant journal called The Moments Journal, which you can find online, that supports me and others in this area. And it's a way of helping you to have some positivity in your life, to express some gratitude for the good things in your life, and to take a moment to pause and reflect on those things. And I think that's an amazing thing to have in your career. Number 10, my final one, is to be less hard on yourself. There's a difficult balance to strike between being ambitious and being too hard on yourself. And finding that sweet spot for your own career is a difficult task, but I think it's a crucial one. Everyone is going to make mistakes. Despite the fact that I've had a career long enough to have these 10 tips, I make loads of mistakes, probably every day, let alone every week or every month. Not only is it part of being human, making mistakes, having failures, but if you aren't making mistakes, you probably aren't growing and trying new things. So try not to blame yourself if things go wrong. Try to see it as a teachable experience. This is particularly important, I think, at the moment, when there's a pandemic happening, when a lot of people are under stress, when it's very easy to be down about different things, and people are going through genuinely hard times. It'd be easy to be hard on yourself and to say that your career isn't heading in the direction that you want it to, but you need to resist the temptation to be hard on yourself. Ideally, you want to be hard enough on yourself to prompt you to action, and not so hard on yourself that you really feel bad about it over time, because everybody has things go wrong. Everybody has difficult things happen to them, and everybody makes mistakes, probably all the time. So I hope those 10 biggest career lessons from me was useful. If it was, please share this podcast with other people. And good luck in your own career. And I wish you all the best.